On Friday, the 12th of September 2003, Tech TV in the United States broadcast a two-hour special focusing on the legal ramifications of peer-to-peer file sharing. This came just days after the RIAA announced its intention to file 261 claims against individuals for sharing 1,000 tracks or more using peer-to-peer software. 2 days later, on Sunday the 14th of September, ACB radio listeners had the opportunity to express their views on this matter in an open forum hosted by Michael Lorf in the music room of the rplace.acbradio.org chat portal.
Welcome to Mic Talk, the radio show where you pick up the mic and talk, co-hosted by Rachel Bader and yours truly, Michael Lorf. It's the show about technology and anything you want to talk about because you do pick up the mic and talk. That's the way we do things here. Rachel joining me tonight from Orlando, Florida. Tonight we're going to talk about music and file trading. We have a small group so far. If you're listening to this conversation, we did dive into this around June 15th. We're revisiting it because of quite a lengthy expose done by Tech TV over the weekend, combined with 261 lawsuits. So we'll be talking about that. Also, Rachel and I are undertaking the big screen reader swap. Rachel primarily uses JAWS for Windows. I primarily use Window Eyes by GW Micro. So what we're going to do is not bash each other's screen reader, but kind of give some how-tos. I mean, I'll tell Rachel some things I think are kind of important to someone who's never used Window Eyes before. Likewise, she can tell me, as someone who's a predominant Window Eyes user who's just switching over to JAWS, kind of those fundamental, important key sequences that are very helpful.
We are going to torture ourselves by forcing each other to use the screen readers the other person is used to for a whole week. And in some ways, I look forward to that. In other ways, it's going to be quite interesting. The show that we're doing tonight is on file sharing. We want to get your thoughts, get your ideas. Quite the hot topic right now. And we want to find out what you think, because it is Mic Talk where you pick up the mic and talk. And we want to give you a chance to do that.
Okay, with a few people in the room, I will ask the first question. Do any of you use any tools specifically for the purpose of exchanging music, software, TV shows, anything like that? Do any of you use tools like that? And feel free to elaborate on that, not specific how-tos, but anything that you use for the acquisition of material that some might consider illegal. Any comments from anyone in the room?
Hello, this is Monty from California. I primarily use WinMX. And Kazaa Lite.
Are any of you concerned or have any feelings specifically about the 261 lawsuits that were filed this past week against a variety of individuals who were said to be sharing at least 1,000 songs each? Did any of you feel perhaps anger or fear or indifference or I'll worry about that if it's me? Or would any of you change your plans because someone you know was cited for that? Any thoughts on this most recent action and maybe the 12-year-old girl that some feel was singled out? Any comments on that that took place this week?
I myself, first of all, I use the usual stuff, the WinMX and the Kazaa and the newsreader. Now I use the X News. You just go up on the news groups and get what you want. It's a lot faster. And anyway, I personally think it's probably a good idea to start looking for more legitimate places to get music, because it's just going to get worse as time goes on. But right now they're going to go after where the masses are, which the masses are. What they're doing is they're using these Kazaa and peer-to-peer networks. And I was in kind of a unique situation that I feel personally. I went to a website and thing to buy the track. And they even had the nerve to show us the track name and that it was there and all that good stuff. It turns out I wasn't able to download it. I wasn't able to get the legitimate track because it wasn't, for some odd reason, it wasn't there. I went to buymusic.com, one of their solutions. Wasn't able to download it and purchase it. I wound up having to say, well, then I'm going to go look elsewhere. And it was just by luck that I got the song I wanted. My thought is, well, I'll just get in there and get what's for me and leave. I think we can attribute a lot of it. A lot of these suits to people having a lack of knowledge of what happens when they actually install the file sharing client, and that it does actually by default go out and share all your directories and all that good stuff. So anyway, go ahead, Mike.
Okay, well, thanks for that insight. Now, when you say legitimate services, you mean ones where you actually pay, or you mean just using alternatives to whatever's big at the time? Because they shut down Napster, millions of people overnight went to a new technology. You shut down Kazaa, which supposedly is 60 million of a total of 100 million people known to be trading files. So when you say legitimate, you mean sites like Rhapsody, but yet it's not accessible for a blind person? Or do you just mean other tools like news groups, private FTP? What do you mean by legitimate?
I probably should clarify that. When I say legitimate, I mean a place that's sanctioned by the recording industry, such as DaiMusic.com, which is accessible, Rhapsody, which is, for a low-vision person, it's pretty good, but for someone who is not a low-vision user, it can be a little bit more difficult. They need to make an effort to maybe make that more accessible so that folks won't be so tempted to file trade.
Are any of you concerned beyond the music aspect, just the fact that, hey, 261 people were identified pretty much by their computer? And if that's the case, are you concerned that someone could go into any courthouse and find a busy clerk and get them to quickly sign off on something that would allow them to basically sue you on what your computer is doing? Maybe you're not aware of ways that your computer is being used, either because you pay the ISP bill, but your son, daughter, husband moves data around on it. Or what if your system was hacked and doing things against your will or knowledge? If this was used wrongfully by child molesters or stalkers or other people that could get your address, telephone number, and so forth. Any thoughts on the privacy issues of what recently happened?
Yeah, Mike, this is John Gunn from Wisconsin Rapids. Can you hear me?
Yes, John. Go ahead with your comments tonight, sir.
First of all, I want to make a comment on on file sharing, and I've used WinMix myself. I know that when you set up the program, then what I do is if I go in to share music, that's all I'm going to do for one thing. And there is a way you can set the folder up for WinMix to strictly use that folder and nothing else. Now, there is, I'll use a little bit of responsibility. If you're going to have WinMix share out your hard drive, well, then I think you're kind of asking for things. And as being a musician myself and have recorded, and yes, I'm visually handicapped, but as I've recorded being a musician and recording myself, I can understand, I guess more or less my comment was for the WinMix. When you set up a folder on your hard drive, there has to be a little user awareness, I think, in that aspect.
Tom, do you think it's an issue where they could do a disclaimer kind of thing or some kind of a warning in the actual software that would alert people to that? Because it seems like from the Tech TV program and from other sources that I've heard that several people just were not aware, as we've already said, they weren't aware that it was illegal because it was so easy to do it. What if any of you think about having some kind of a disclaimer or a warning on the software that says, hey, you know, this is kind of download at your own risk?
Well, hi, everyone. Hi, Rachel and Mike and everyone. Yeah, I think a disclaimer is a good idea. I never was one that did download music, although I have a few CDs that were given to me that someone else had downloaded quite a bit. And I listened to the kinds of things that this friend of mine put on those CDs, and I almost wish I had gotten in on it before it got to be such a sticky situation, although now if I had, I'd probably be pretty worried. I don't know what the answer is, but I think a disclaimer is a good idea. I don't know what the answer is in terms of privacy versus the illegality of it all, but, you know, it is scary, and the disclaimer is a good idea.
John Gunn here again in Wisconsin. I know that I've been using a program for copying fees or whatever the case is, and this is easy to see the creator. And I know in their program there is a disclaimer, you know, about illegally copying CDs and so on and so forth. I don't think that's such a bad idea. I guess in this day and age, it's better to be safe than sorry than having a disclaimer up there. And how the people use it, well, then they have to take responsibility. But yeah, I think a disclaimer is a good idea.
This tends to be a kind of a war between the file swapping users and the record labels. Is there anything that any of you think that record labels could do that would make sales of their CDs more appealing? You know, cheaper possibly, or what might the record labels be able to do that would appeal to those file swapping public that would allow, that would kind of get them to go back and buy CDs again?
Deliver them digitally. I'd say deliver the content digitally and give folks the options if they want to download a lot of music, to have a flat rate subscription where they can download and listen and burn to CD as much as they, you know, make it so the user can take the content where they want to go. However, that is rather difficult, but that's what I think would be the solution. I think the cheap price theory has been proven to be inadequate, because now you can go to Rhapsody, just to give you an angle on that. Rhapsody tracks, if you buy a track off of the internet that you can burn to a disc, you know, buy a burn, 79 cents. It's a lot cheaper than going to one of your sources and getting it, because you got to spend time to look for it. You got to spend time maybe getting a bad copy, but you go to Rhapsody or whatever source you're using and pay 79 to 99 cents. That's nothing, you know. I've at times had three or four songs I wanted, just pay the 79 a piece, and within minutes I have all the songs completely in my possession.
What's the quality of those songs? I mean, are those, they're not MP3, right? Are they perhaps Windows Media, and then you have to convert them and burn them to CD? Or what's involved with that when you purchase the online music in that way?
One of their own proprietary formats is a portion of Windows Media, but as far as the streets are, it's nice quality. When they first came out with it, I wasn't sold on it, and I didn't think anyone else was going to be sold on it, but they've actually cleaned up the quality, which makes it impressive. But yeah, it's Windows Media, but you can burn it to disk. And the quality is great. I mean, I've got some songs here that are just outstanding quality compared to what you get online. Sometimes what people put online is really horrible quality stuff. You know, it's been shared everywhere, and it just doesn't sound very good. So, I mean, there's something to be said for it. You get what you pay for. So if you get a song off of a swapping site, sometimes you might get extra artifacting that you normally wouldn't have if you just bought the song originally. And the quality's great. I mean, the good part is if you don't like the quality, you can go back to the company that's doing the service and say, I don't like the quality. So, but I have, using Rhapsody and having burned their tracks, it's great.
So basically what you're saying is that you see the store-bought CD kind of going the way of vinyl 8-tracks and cassettes, that down the road in another few years or so, it's really not going to be much of an option?
It's probably not, because people like to have the music now. I think what we're dealing with now is the fact that people look at music as they plunk their cash down and they walk out with an item, and they want to be able to own that item and be able to do what they want with it. They want to be able to put it on their portable device, you know, within reason. And I don't think most people generally want to just share to the world. I mean, everyone knows that even if they close all these peer-to-peer networks, you're still going to have people giving each other copies and this and that. It'll be amongst friends. However, people don't buy CDs with that in mind, traditionally. So, you know, let's just see what happens. But, yeah, the day of buying a CD at the store is pretty much, you know, you better really want it. And I guess if you have the way you get to the store, that's fine.
You know, from the record company standpoint, you think, all right, yeah, we could sell them directly, cut out the middleman, no retail, no production costs. You think it'd be a big boon, big savings for them, plus they could track what types of things are being sold, what types of things aren't, and use that as real relevant, useful research to, you know, decide who to go out and sign, and save them costs by moving things more as singles instead of albums. Or, hey, you come out with 8 songs, it's not like you have to come out with a 46-minute collection that we can call a full-length CD. So there's some resistance in that cash stipend there of getting 12, 15 bucks for 2 songs and a bunch of other filler. What we have here is a transition to what's called pay for play. That could be songs for 79 cents, that could be monthly services, more like ongoing services like Real One for $9.95 that lets you have radio stations, or you can listen to the baseball games, you can get the NFL, all the games for the 17 games for the season for $34.95. XM Satellite Radio. I think there's even a thing you can go to Blockbuster and pay so much per month and get all the DVDs you could possibly want to rent. So we're moving into that pay-for-play model, and of course, obviously, we do it. So we have cable television and internet, some of us broadband, some dial-up access. I'm curious if any of you, beyond that cable TV and high-speed internet, are any of you involved paying money on a monthly basis for any of the new pay-for-play services like the ones I've mentioned or others I haven't?
We are here in this house. We're subscribed, each of us, to Live 365, so we can listen to all the music we want without commercials. Dez, who I live with, is subscribed to Press Play. I haven't figured out how to navigate that yet. It's amazing how much great music there is on there.
I am subscribed to Rhapsody, and if they can get their act together and make it accessible, all of it, other than just the part where you, the web page part of it, where you look for the titles and click the link that says play now, you know, the part where you burn CDs needs to be accessible and all the rest of it. And once that happens, I'll be perfectly satisfied. Because right now, as it stands, I had to go to my friend Paul here to make my own CD. It's pretty pathetic if you ask me. I mean, Paul doesn't mind, but I'd like to be able to do it myself.
This is John in Wisconsin. Your comment was kind of the middleman, the record company going direct to the customer. Well, in all fairness, the real middleman here is the record company. What about the musician that writes a song, performs on it, records a song, and so forth? Really, those are the people that I kind of feel sorry for.
Well, in theory, I mean, this could totally replace the record company as we know it. This would obviously be why they would be fighting against it. I mean, imagine, John, you form a band, you go out, create yourself a label, produce your own record, go to a studio, do it, however, maintain all the copyrights. I think for musicians, it's kind of a mixed bag. It's a great time. Any musician does not no longer have to play the game of getting your song on the radio or playing in a club or getting someone who knows someone to call a record rep to catch you playing in the club and think that you're good enough to sign you. I mean, it opens up a new opportunity for people. Now, some would argue, well, if I play my music and everyone downloads it and nobody pays for it, then I have no incentive to go out and play. But an interesting point that they made on Tech TV the other day, that 12 billion CD sales and the artists get 4% of that, as opposed to maybe 60 billion for touring. This is certainly another reason why the record labels will be fighting it. They really do have collusion, I believe, you know, price fixing. You know, when the CDs came out, they were cheaper to produce, so the prices should have went down, but instead they went up. Two new issues I want to see your comments on. One, there's some new discs coming out where you put the CD in your CD-ROM drive in the computer and then go to a website and get additional content, additional videos or what have you, because you own a legitimate copy, whereas the copied CDs will not extract this information. That, and now we're going to have new copy protection built into the CDs. BMG's coming out with a CD here very shortly under the Arista label, and you supposedly will not be able to, well, you can play it in your computer. You technically cannot copy, therefore you cannot make it available for upload. And I don't know all the specifics. I read something about you could actually make three copies of it. So say you could have one copy on your hard drive, one copy on a portable MP3, and then maybe a separate CD that you take with you, home, car, boombox, whatever. Obviously, the first technologies wouldn't play on certain car players, wouldn't play on certain computers. Do you think they're right in doing that? Do you think that's a fair way to compensate the artist? Or do you think, I bought this, I should be able to use it in whatever capacity I want and be trusted not to share it? It shouldn't be assumed that I'm going to be a thief with the music. And I should have full rights to make two or three copies of it and put them in different places in case one gets damaged. Is the record company going to reimburse me if my CD becomes damaged? Any thoughts on their new methods of protection?
John here in Wisconsin, and I think it's they're going probably the avenue of a piece of software. I'll use my screener as an example. I'm licensed to run one copy of that. And my wife's computer is across the room. Technically, if I were to install my software on her computer, and if I brought it up, that same version up, technically, I'm breaking a copyright. It's an infringement, technically. Now, where I work in the local area, of course, I have my screen reader running, but I turn it off, and then when I'm at work, of course, I have the copy at work. But the key thing is here is I can't, I'm a fairly good multitasker, but I can't stretch myself 3 miles and run my screen reader out on two computers. So I suspect that's probably where they're going with that, although I'm not sure, just a thought.
My thought on the whole idea of copy protection is it should be up to the user what they do with their CD. You know, one of the things that's always fascinated me is the ability to make my own CDs and the ability to put CDs that I own on my computer, because my computer basically is my CD player and my stereo system. And if I want to share it with some friends, well, hey, I bought the thing originally, and it shouldn't matter.
Rachel, throw out the big next question as we get into the second half of our program on file sharing, the good, the bad, and the indifferent.
Quite the lead-in. What do you all think about one of the situations that they referred to on the Tech TV show was a college student who he didn't share files, but he came up with a search engine that allowed people to see what files were available. And I understand, at least from what I gather from the show, that he did it kind of more as a research project to look at the technology that was out there. What do you guys feel about that? Do you feel that he was just as in the wrong as file swappers? Because apparently that's how the RIAA took it, because he is one of the people that has been sued and has actually, I believe, settled out in court on that. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, he did settle for $12,000, and yet there's search engines like Google and all the other big engines that allow you to do it. So your comments on that?
Why don't they just sue Google and Yahoo and all them? They're no different than what his was.
Okay, what things are you folks sharing other than music? And maybe you're not sharing. Maybe you're just downloading. I mean, are you doing books, software, anything else? I mean, is music kind of the first thing you did, and now you say, well, that's a great technology, but I'd rather get audiobooks or DVS movies. Any of you acquiring other types of materials that some might consider illegal?
Yes, I have movies, I have books, and I also have stuff that I don't know whether it would be considered illegal or not, but I've got NASA, audio from different space missions. I've got John F. Kennedy speeches. You know, just little clips that are, historical that I like to have around. And I got them off peer-to-peer networks.
What conditions have to be present for you to sit down in front of your computer and go onto a site such as Morpheus or Kazaa and go download music for free and say, and walk away from the computer and say, it's perfectly okay. I did nothing wrong and I'm perfectly happy with it and I'm willing to fight if they come up against me? What conditions have to be present for you to be able to walk away with a clear conscience to be able to do that?
If the song is posted someplace and not made available for us to download where it's clearly released, I mean, my thought is when the song's released, it should be released aware at the same time, on the net, in stores, everywhere. If that song isn't available for me to grab on my local service, or they've made it, I'm willing to pay for it, but if it's not available in a pay-to-place type place, then by God, anything goes at that point, as far as I'm concerned, because I'll go find someone that's got a copy of it, not a problem.
Also, the way I feel about, especially with the way the record labels do things, is I pay for the access to the Internet, and it's because I'm on the Internet that I am able to download the stuff. I'm paying for the Internet. The record company's already got enough money as it is. So, yeah, I'll download stuff of theirs, especially when it's not available, like Paul said, on a like this stuff by Weird Al Yankovic. That's none of that's available on Rhapsody.
I think what I'm hearing and sensing is that there's a sense of entitlement that I think a lot of people feel, maybe from already having done it. And to the question about which would be more fair, to have something released where there were X number of ways that the CD could or the music could be continued to be downloaded or copied versus, only one copy. I think it's real hard to have freedom taken away. We've already been able to do this to take it away. It's kind of like the restrictions people began to feel after 9/11. If we hadn't already had these freedoms, then maybe the ways of restricting wouldn't have seemed so drastic. But now there's that sense of entitlement.
I bet I feel entitled. I pay $9.95 a month for Rhapsody. I pay 79 cents a track for the songs. I even get bothered when they tell me I can't burn the tracks. So we have to take measures in which to make sure that I still get that track, even though it's not burnable. And actually, in that reality, I'm not breaking the law, because the fact of the matter is, it's the same as using a tape deck. And if I take and put it on a Kazaa, then yeah, I'm breaking the law. But if I do it in my own home, and it's my own personal copy, actually, I'm not breaking the rules. But, and I'm not damaging their software to do it, so they really can't track that. They can't track that down either. So, in that respect, that's legal. But, you know, I'll go to every link before I'll go trading. I'll go in, if it's available for streaming, and their streams on Rhapsody sound pretty good, I pay a monthly fee for the service and for download. So, sure, I'm contributing. I just don't honestly think sometimes they put enough stuff up there for us. There's a group called Hot Hot, for instance. The whole album is available. It's there, but you can't burn it to CD. You can't buy the tracks individually. And there was a track I wanted called Talk With Me, Dance With Me. And I already had bandages with the first track, so I had to do my usual routine when they let me burn tracks.
So, interesting. Two points. One, you're saying things that are out of print, and that can make sense. I mean, how can you charge somebody if no one's claiming possession of it? Two different issues there, but I want to go back because, Monty, did I understand you correctly? Are you saying that you believe that your monthly internet fee, your $19.95, or I guess maybe your broadband, $39.95, that, which essentially is with your ISP allowing you to send and receive data, zeros and ones, but do I understand you to believe that entitles you to music, your internet subscription fee itself?
No, in my view it does, because isn't it because of the fact that we're on the internet that's being allowed? You know, the technology is there, because as far as the internet's concerned, all we're doing is sending and receiving data. Technology's been around to do that for years. I mean, I'm paying $84 bucks a month for a fairly decent internet connection here, and I feel that, you know, is more than enough to cover the cost of a CD.
Okay, what if you go to a convenience store and there's a hidden camera and it sees your credit card and then someone steals money out of your account? Could one argue or not argue that that is similar and that it's theft of someone else's property? I mean, someone owns the rights to that music. And if you acquire it with the intent of not buying it because you acquired it, and maybe you even think, yeah, I'll go out and buy that, but, well, I'll get around to it. I'll probably end up spending money on something I couldn't get that way. I'm not saying, of course, that downloading of music is wrong, because I believe a lot of people listen to it a time or two and blow it off and delete it. I think others do build up a collection of music with the model of $79.99 per track, could turn around and become avid collectors and buy the next 1,000 releases.
Obviously, what we've seen here tonight is that downloading music, clearly, whether it's legal or illegal, in some way benefits the end user, the person who swaps the files. Who is it going to hurt the most? Are we hurting the record companies? Are we hurting the artists? One of the other things on Tech TV they mentioned, too, was maybe even the songwriter who wasn't necessarily involved in the recording but initially put those words down on paper so that they could be recorded. Who's hurt the most by this? And who's going to suffer the most if free file sharing does continue?
Title clearance, meaning problem is, even if the record companies want to do it, there's issues. Every song has different ownership rights. I mean, people can go in and buy whole catalogs. You know, Michael Jackson can say, I want the Beatles songs. I'm going to pay the most money to whoever owns it, and now they're mine. And I can decide if a song's used in a commercial or which songs are remade and who can remake them and who cannot remake them. Or, in some cases, the writers. They're savvy enough to maintain the rights to the music, so they negotiate it with a record company, but they ultimately own it. And some are in the hands of lawyers. So that does present a real issue. Who owns the music? Someone say, well, the artists own the music. Perhaps if they written the lyrics and produced the music score, did the whole thing, but oftentimes that's not the case. Working in radio every year or so, we had to do these BMI music logs, and they didn't ask for the title of the song and the performing artist. They asked for the title of the song and the writer, the author, who actually wrote the lyrics, who's credited for that, for physically writing the song. Do some of you feel that you would buy CDs if the artist got a fair shake, but as long as 96% goes to entities other than the artist, that you're not going to participate in that? That in itself kind of makes it okay, because you're really not taking from the artist, you're stealing from the man, or taking from the man. Curious about other things that people are doing, because I find it fascinating that people are doing books, audiobooks, e-text, you know, the electronic textbooks.
I'm getting kind of annoyed at it, actually, because I go out and buy software, and you can go anywhere and find people who have Nero. I mean, I go out and I pay the legitimate upgrade, okay? I go out and I buy the legitimate software. I support the group because I want a reliable piece of software. On a computer I care about, no hacks, no cracks, no wares, basically, especially if it's going to be in the public. It just burns me up sometimes how people just sometimes will use this piece of software forever and never purchase it. And I'm always asking myself, who made them recipient of the free package, and yet I paid for it? Always been in the back of my mind when I see that kind of stuff. I've gotten my share of free stuff.
What motivates you to pay for software versus getting it? I mean, you might get something for free and then go, well, I don't really use it that much anyway. But what actually motivates you to lay down the money? I mean, some people go, I pay for shareware, or I have a fixed price. This software is worth $30 to me, and or $19.95, and because they want $45, that's too much, so I'll just acquire it. What motivates you to buy a piece of software or a book or to support the people that put it together?
Personally, if I derive a daily pleasure from it, if it's something that does something to help me out, if it's a program that makes things maybe more accessible or perhaps does my FTP site, you know, I chunked out cash, you know, when I bought Aux DJ, which is a broadcasting tool. And I take my broadcasting very seriously. Had no problem going out and getting it. And wanted everything. I wanted the scheduler. I wanted the whole nine yards. Luckily, it was cheap enough then to even think about it. Now I wouldn't pay it, but, I mean, back then. If I derive a pleasure from it, or it's something I come in the room and turn on a regular basis and I get lots of pleasure out of it, then, by gosh, they deserve my support because I'm using it every single day.
Do you have a dollar limit on that? Is there a point to where it seems to say, I'll pay this much, but I'm not going to pay this much. I mean, that's ridiculous to pay this much for this software. You know, they're getting their money from other people that pay it. Do you have a limit that you set for paying for something that you really want to pay for and use?
Most of the time what I'll try to do is I don't want to pay for it. Sometimes I've gotten a crack for it or a way of generating authorization to use a product. But I don't make that a practice. If there's something I know it's less expensive, then I'll go find an alternative rather than downloading it. Because when you do that, especially if you just go out into the open and do it, you're leaving yourself open to viruses and stuff like that. People love people who want free software because they implant stuff in the installers. They can hose your system real fast, you know, unless you have some sort of a buddy arrangement with somebody or where you get it from a friend or something, you know, but that's a whole other issue. Actually, in any case, no matter how you get it, you're still breaking the rules. You know, you're still breaking it. But generally, if I can't afford it, then I will go on and find another option. But yeah, if a product is worth it, if it's worth it, I will pay the $200-$300 to get the product. Almost $1,000 invested in the broadcast software over a period of time because I bought options and put multiple licenses.
A lot of people say, I don't know what the big deal about Kazaa is. People have been doing this for years with news groups. Do any of you use news groups for acquiring different kinds of files? And if so, you know, what are you getting? And, you know, what do you like about using that format?
Well, I just recently started using news groups primarily for getting music. In fact, that's all I've gotten from it in the 2 days that I've been using it. It's not as easy to use as a peer-to-peer. You can't just go search what you're looking for and grab it. What you mainly do with a news group is you browse and you find something that interests you and you grab it. Because of the fact that there's a little bit more involved to it, folks kind of take the effort in some cases to make things sound good, and it's fast because a lot of the news servers are at ISPs or, like, I actually pay for a news service called Easy News that does a very good job. I can get binaries, or I can just monitor discussions of various subjects.
So you actually say you get better quality material via the news groups, and what about your concern? There was at one time said that news groups were the harbinger for viruses and Trojans.
Well, certainly they can be. That's why I haven't gone after software with it, because certainly by the nature of the way news groups work, you post something to a news group, it automatically gets distributed to all the servers that carry that particular group. The news groups, the quality, I mean, and not all, I mean, just like as with anything, I mean, it's not always going to be good, but a lot of it is, you know, because you don't just go click on a link to download. You know, there's special tools you use for posting stuff and for the news readers to read it, and, you know, you don't just search for stuff like you do on a peer-to-peer where you just click and hit search. It's a bit more involved.
Does anyone have any questions or particular issues, maybe things that really bother you about the whole file sharing saga, trend, media hype, however you feel about it? Anyone have any questions or concerns or things you'd like to ask opinions of the fellow participants in the room tonight?
Well, all I'd want to say is I do not like the way the recording industry is handling it, suing their customers, assuming that every single person is a bad guy. Practically is what they're, you know, in my impression is what they're doing. They could have gone about this the right way back when Napster was around. They could have taken and used the technology. They're trying to, in my view, and others might disagree with me, but in my view, the recording industry is actually trying to stop the progress and the use of digital technology.
Now, what is that ultimate solution then? We certainly know what the problem is. If somebody was to sit down and say to you, I have a large sum of money for you, if you come up with a solution that would just stop this whole debate once and for all, does anybody have like an ultimate solution that would fix this, or bits and pieces of one, you know, half thought out? Any ideas there?
Well, my thinking was have a service that's reasonably priced, like what Rhapsody is, that would allow you, it could work kind of like the distribution method of a news group, where you can submit stuff to one server and it would automatically go out to several others, and everybody that's on the service would be paying for it, and they could grab whatever they want whenever they want, kind of like the ultimate library. It would be online, and it would be, you know, that would be, it would be fast, so there wouldn't be any long delays like there are long waits for peer-to-peer downloads in many cases, and it would be the best of both worlds, I think.
The only problem is you'd be closed within a year because of licensing. I would say come up with a suitable model that would allow you to access legal and fully licensed material in an accessible format, whether it be secure media file, make it affordable for those that wish to do lots of downloading, price it accordingly. My goodness, you can't give somebody unlimited downloads for $9.95. It just can't happen. Now, if you charge them $30 or $40 a month and they really want to have access to all the downloadable music, I'd say, you know, sock it to them, and because you're going to have to pay the freight anyway. There's no way that you're going to get deals with every label for $9.95 a month, especially without secure digital rights management. As far as I'm thinking, what we've come up with so far is probably the most realistic, and I don't honestly see where something like that would really happen. I mean, you'd have to basically provide the material that's legal and distribute what you've been licensed to do, versus just giving, okay, guys, upload what you want. For this fee, you get this much, because then you throw licensing out the window.
Okay, so do you feel then that 79 cents per track is fair, and what then would be a fair price for a full-length CD, or a book, a movie, in a digital format? What do you think would be fair prices for other media?
$17 and more for a CD.
$17 is a bit much. You can buy a DVD for that in multiple languages, and there's some talk of bringing some of them down to $10 or $12, and some could argue that's still a bit too much. So a very good point. We're getting down to our final few minutes here, so we'll take a quick round and see if anyone has any final comments. What do you think is going to happen in the next few years, and do you have any plans on changing what you're doing? Will you just change from one technology to another? Kind of final thoughts, and then Rachel and I will close up with our combined nickels worth.
I'm open to solutions. As far as I'm concerned, if a record company comes up with a great service that we can get the music we want and have it released in a timely manner where we don't have to wait a delayed period of time, I'm willing to pay to play, man. I'd say, you know, give me a rich catalog full of material, and I'm there. I have no problem paying for my music, and would prefer to pay for my music. But just make it reasonable, and don't make me wait forever to go get the song.
And make sure that whatever method they use, that it's accessible. You know, for us blind folks, that's a critical component, obviously. It needs to be accessible.
And folks, accessibility is tops on my list. And on top of that, there's a firm out here. I wish you could remember the name of it, but you can go there. It's a store, and it will literally, for a certain amount, let you download onto a burnable CD certain tracks of music, and you choose your favorites out of those that they have. And I can't remember, I think it was in, I know it was in Silicon Valley, I think it was on the peninsula, probably like, more like Palo Alto or San Mateo, I think it was. This is a whole store devoted to it, devoted to nothing but CDs. And I know they talked about it on the news, and boy, I would go for that, because it's legit. It's all above board.
Rachel, what are your final comments for the evening?
We briefly talked about accessibility, and we didn't touch on it a great deal, but I would like to say that whatever anybody got out of this conversation, whether you feel that file sharing is okay or not okay, that if file sharing in whatever manner you want to do it legally, that if you want something to be accessible, we are often out there educating people as to what we need to be accessible. So go out there and talk to the people that matter. Start from the bottom up. Talk to the people that have a say in the software and the news groups or whatever it is that you want to be accessible. Make a difference, because if, as you say, that if it's accessible, you'll do it, then we need to be a voice and be advocates for ourselves to go out there and do it.
If you want change, then email folks and say, hey, I'm blind. I would pay for your services, pay for your music, but it's not accessible. Put some alt tags. We'll find people that will show you what's wrong who can technically tell you how to resolve it, and we'd be glad to pay our money and make some effort. And if you want to download material, that's your business, but by all means, you got to give to receive. So if you find something you really like, I hope you'll purchase it. If it's a piece of music, piece of software, a book, a movie, a DVS copy of that movie, what have you, to support the industry, because if no one's paying, then eventually no one's playing.